Think you know what way it's going to go? Make your bet with Sports Interaction. Whether it's hockey, football, or basketball, Sports Interaction has you covered. Bet pregame, live and play, or on one of our many prop bets. Sports Interaction makes it easy to deposit, play, and cash out. Join now and see all that sports betting has to offer. Want to bet? Head to sportsinteraction.com/SDPN. That's sportsinteraction.com/SDPN. 19 plus, please play responsibly.
Welcome, Leafs fans, to Game Over Toronto. Harnish and Lauren here live with you on the SDPN channel on this beautiful Sunday night as the Leafs hosted the Washington Capitals for their final game of January 2023. Folks, tonight's episode will truly be out of this world. And no, I'm not exaggerating in the slightest. Our guest for tonight is Canadian icon who's had not only one, not two, but three space flights over his illustrious career, the last including his famous mission aboard the ISS during Expedition 35, where he served as the first Canadian commander of the station. The flight is also where we were blessed to hear his rendition of Space Oddity, which has honestly got to be the most expensive music video ever produced. I'm talking about none other than Commander Chris Hadfield. Welcome to the show, Mr. Hadfield.
Hey, thanks very much. I appreciate it, Harsh, and nice to be joining you both. What a great game to be watching. And that video was free, actually. I was already there. It was done in my spare time when I was supposed to be asleep using existing equipment. I didn't bring up anything at all to make it. So I just took advantage of the circumstances. So it was the cheapest video ever made, I think.
And we were on the recipient end of that. We were truly blessed to be able to hear that. It was fantastic. I can't believe it's been a while since we heard that. It's going to be 10 years now, eh? And wow, that was truly magnificent. But we have a game to be talking about today, and what better game than Tavares's 1,000th game? And you were there live, Mr. Hadfield, right? You were there with your family to be able to witness and see.
Yeah, it was great. And it was nice to see John there with his family. His mom and dad were there. And of course, his wife and two boys. And 1,000 games. I mean, it just speaks to so many different things, right? The tenacity, the desire, the physical toughness, the mental toughness, just terrific. And it's so delightful that, a kid from Southern Ontario is back here celebrating his 1,000th game. And they had a lot of other Toronto area folks that were, playing in the game tonight around him. So a really lovely moment. And, I think he got 1 point as an assist tonight. Would have been lovely if he'd gotten a few goals, especially in a scoring fest like it turned into, but a really great night for the team and an even better night for the Tavares family, I think.
Absolutely. And it was so good to see him there. And I'm glad that they won for you. I'm glad, well, not for you. I'm glad that they got a win for tonight. As we told you before the stream, they do have a tendency to play up and down when we have a guest on. So I'm glad that they could provide five big fat goals for us tonight against the Capitals. Sammy holding on for the win, and without Austin Matthews leading the way as well. So good game all around, and we got lots to talk about for it.
Well, I think both of their goalies definitely played and, well tonight, but it's nice where both of their goalies have to play well and we still beat them, So we got a lot of good shots in there tonight where their goalie saved their bacon and we still beat them pretty badly. So yeah, but Samsonov had a good night, which always is a good thing for us.
Yeah, there was a lot of actually Leafs players that kind of had a good night when you have four goals in a period in that second, right? You're doing a lot of things right with Bunton getting our first goal of the game, and then Riley finally being able to get one pass and that was his first goal in 47 games. You could see the elation in him, right? He put his hands up, looked to the ceiling, and the cheering around from the fans as well as the team, right? You could see that it really meant a lot for him, and finally one off of his off his shoulder, right? And hopefully,
yeah. Well, I was looking at Bunting's face as well when he scored. When Michael Bunting scored, he was just so happy to have done that. It got things going that way, so it was nice to see his expression. But you're right, Morgan Riley. is like you can almost see the weight being lifted off his shoulders and the you know, there's sort of a vindication feeling, I think. So, and I'm delighted for him. And that was a lovely setup and he took a beautiful shot. So, you know, he's a terrific offensive defenseman and it's nice for him to get rewarded for it tonight as well.
And just a great example of what happens when you find some space on the ice and get to where you think there might be an opportunity, right? Everybody was below the faceoff dots and he just sneaks right in and puts himself in a good position. And hey, if you want pucks, you go to the net. If you want goals, you go to the net, right? So super glad for him. And Mitch coming up behind him, again, another case of the teammates just being as excited, if not more excited for their teammates than themselves, right?
Well, with Austin Matthews out, everybody's got to, of course, shift around a little bit. And in order to win, we've got to be able to not miss the skills that he brings. And so that requires a pretty good effort on a lot of people's part. And so the names we've been talking about, people stepped up. And Mitch's skills, you know, there's some people that you can just see for 1 second of how they move on the ice. Like Gretzky was like that. 1 second clip and you go, oh yeah, that's Gretzky. That's how he moves. And Mitch Marner is one of those guys. There's just a way, the smoothness with which he skates, an awareness of what's happening. And it's so important for him to have a good game. And he had a really good supportive game tonight. So I think that really helped our win also.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Definitely. And I think Engvall had a fantastic game, his best game in a long time. You know, he gets the big goal to put them up 4-1, which is, as everybody knows, and Chris, you know more than anybody, the unsafest lead in hockey, right? Left the ISS and that's what it was. Yeah. And everybody starts doing the wave and I start panicking because when it's 4-1, you don't do the wave, guys.
Well, it was funny what the wave was started by one big bearded guy who was just up behind my right shoulder. And I was with my granddaughter and she's never been in a crowd where there was a wave went around like that before. And she was like kind of amazed and so delighted. So I was seeing it through her eyes, which was fun. But that wave was deliberately started just by one big voiced, big personality guy just behind us. And it was great that went around. I think it went around the arena 6 times, which is very unusual. If anything, I think that helped. It got the audience going a little more and you're right. Engvall had a great game. You know, he's such a physical specimen, big, strong guy. And for him to not just control the puck like he does so well, and he's got that, you know, carry it, control it, use his size and his strength, bring it across. And then everybody knows he's going to take that kind of quick sweeping shot, but he held it just long enough that they couldn't do anything about it anyway. And he had a couple other really good chances also. So yeah, it's if he stands up and gets some goals, then, you know, that's really going to help us out.
Yeah, definitely. And on that play, I want to shout out Brody too, because Brody was able to draw 3 players on him, which enabled Engvall to get that cut in. And man, he was quick. It really seems like Engvall there's a stretch of time where you just don't notice him on the ice. He seems like he's asleep a little bit. And then he produces this beautiful goal and you're just like, oh, that's him. That's the guy that we came to cheer for. And that's what we come to expect out of him. So it was really nice being able to see him get that. And then even that Czar goal, I mean, that was fantastic as well in that third, right? The Leafs catch Washington on a line change and Holmberg gets 2 caps bite on him. Czar cuts in and one-on-one with Lindgren and just stays patient. It's a similar situation. He stays patient, just sweeps it past him and puts the Leafs up.
It was very pretty. It was great. Just great to see the consistency of effort. And I mean, the first period was back and forth and, you know, we were on the edge of our seats and they were having some good shots. But the second and the third period, we really showed how we can do. And even though the Caps got, you know, the puck exactly where they wanted it a few times. Samsonov stood up, or almost everybody on the team really buckled down for the defense, helped block the shots. Just there were so many quick sticks, just lifting it, just getting out of the way, so they didn't get the shot that they wanted to get. And even when, you know, number 8 got a wide open slap shot, nice sitting in the stands and hearing the boom of it. come off Samsonov's pad, you know, and get it stopped. So yeah, it was a fun game, especially in the last two periods. You never want to, you know, think, okay, we got this one in the bag. I never leave a game early, that's for sure. But yeah, once you get to 4-1 and then 5-1, you start to really get that great rush of feeling in the crowd. And I don't think my granddaughter and I have ever had more fun at a game. She likes the blue cotton candy, you know, the Leafs colored cotton candy, and
of course,
and the extra sugar rush for her was a lot of fun tonight, especially with the whole crowd's enthusiasm at the win.
Yeah, and I love that you mentioned the defensive commitment from the team, because I'm looking at Money Puck, right, and I'm seeing the expected goals, and even at the second period, right, at the end of the second period, the expected goals was actually pretty close between the Leafs and the Capitals, hovering around like that 2.5 range, right? And obviously the Leafs did catch four goals in this period, so after that fourth goal Kemper got pulled, but you could see that the Leafs, they kept it within one goal. So they were playing great defensive hockey, and it's just been a mindset change that the Leafs have really employed this year, and all credit to Sheldon Keefe, right, for instilling this in us, because this is really the way that you play good playoff hockey, right?
Especially after the game Friday night, where we did not play playoff hockey. I mean, no. I was at that game too, and it was like a different team. It's like, I think Sheldon can really feel that how everyone stepped up, what they talked about, how they got themselves readier for this game. And sure, you're playing the Caps, you know, with Ovechkin and all of that legendary skill there, but we really got our act together well for this Sunday night game and made up for all of the I don't know if it was just, you know, not being on the mark, or everybody feeling poorly, or just not taking it seriously enough, but we really showed what we can do tonight. And if we can play like that those last two periods, I mean, there's nobody going to beat us all the way through. We just need to find a way to convince everybody to put that level of effort in, that amount of defensive backchecking, the amount of forechecking we were doing, you know, that'll turn the tide for us.
Absolutely. And games like that just show you the value of teamwork, right? When everybody's working towards a goal, that's, you can get success. And if you play for yourself, if you play by yourself, if you act like yourself when you're supposed to be on a team, it's not going to work out. And that's a perfect example of it. And Chris, I'm sure that you can relate to that more than most people. So,
yeah, I've been on a bunch of teams in my life where the stakes aren't, even if you can imagine it, greater than the Stanley Cup, and you know, where it's life or death what you're doing, and how do you build a group of people that are ready to face up to the stuff when it goes right, it's not so bad, but when things are going wrong, when you're having troubles, unforeseen troubles, how do you build the reserve and the resolve and the skill set and the depth of skill set and the mutual support so that you can get some seemingly impossible things done? You know, I got to be so lucky when I was living up on the space station, because the Leafs management would send me the games.
Oh my gosh.
But not real time. I didn't have time to watch it real time, but we exercised 2 hours a day. So when I was on the treadmill up there, we have a big treadmill where there's bungees that hold you down. That's when I got to set aside my time. Wow. And just with no commercials or anything, and just watch the games. That was such a privilege. And the whole secret, though, was for nobody to tell me the score, you know, social media or whatever, yeah, until I had a chance to get on the treadmill and watch the game. But it's way more fun now being, you know, live in the arena and watching everybody play in person.
Easier to see the ice, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And you made a great point, Chris, about all the different teams that you've been on. And Chris, you've been not only been an astronaut, but you've been a fighter pilot in the RCAF, an engineer, a musician, a professor at the University of Waterloo, the host of a television show on the BBC, a New York Times bestselling author. But is being a Leafs fan the most emotionally difficult job you've had, especially when you're volunteering for?
Something you may not know, and thank you for all those details. I don't know if you're going to mention it, my great grandfather was a trainer for the Leafs in the late 30s. And so as a Leaf fan, I mean, how could I be anything but, right? Raised, born and raised in Southern Ontario, and with a family tie to the Leafs. So yeah, I've been a Leafs fan my whole life. And with the Air Force and then with the Canadian Space Agency, I was posted outside of Canada for 26 years. And if you're living in South Texas or living in, you know, Moscow, yeah, it's hard to catch a Leafs game. So it's really lovely now being back and to be back into the thrill of it and a pretty credible, and what are we, number three in the entire league or number four or something right now? Pretty serious and credible run, you know, for the cup itself this year. I don't know, you know, in a lot of years where we've had a better look and a deeper group of players. So yeah, it's huge fun every year. And only one team's going to win the cup. And it's, you know, it's a long shot, but it's the battle that matters. And it's really fun to win a battle like tonight.
And I love that you mentioned that because, Mr. Hatfield, you've had the opportunity to see four Stanley Cups in your life, and you might have been young for a couple of them, but I'm sure you remember a lot of really promising teams and fantastic eras over the past couple of years. I mean, we've had the Sundin era, the Gilmore era, and so on and so forth, right? But this team, it really feels like we have some of the best players that this franchise has seen in a long time, but without the playoff success, right? So how do you really rank this team with all the previous eras that I stated?
Well, you know, I was a kid during the 60s, you know, when the Leafs were so dominant and won the Cups. And so it was normal back then. You know, that was what the Leafs did. They won the Stanley Cup, you know, and Davey Keon was my hero and Johnny Bauer, you know, and it was so delightful from orbit that, you know, I pretended to throw a hockey puck back down to earth. And I think Felix Potvin, you know, caught it and then handed it off. And Johnny Bauer, you know, the guy that had been a name that was legend when I was a little kid, he was the one who ended up with it, you know, brought it out onto the ice to start that game. So, so those people that inspired me as a kid, you know, those names that were much larger than life. So it's hard to compare that slice of time with where we are right now. And also, of course, you can't really just rate the Leafs because it's the rest of the league that matters. The league is bigger. There's tremendous skill out there. And so, you know, I don't know that we've ever had a better team, but boy, there's some great competition. I think the level that hockey is played at right now, it's never been this good. You know, it's advanced by players like Gretzky, who kind of changed the game, and all of the real talented Canadians who have come along, who have shown just how the game could be played. You watch how Mitch Marner plays. I mean, it's a lesson, you know, of things that other players aren't doing, the way he forechecks, the way he kills penalties, the way he sets other people up. And that gets contagious into all of the minor leagues and what the kids try and do. And, you know, how many people used to, like, put the stick backwards between the legs and score. And now you see one of those almost every night if you're watching across the league. And so I think the rising tide has improved the quality of the game. That just means, you know, the Leafs have to play even better. But we got the team to do it this year. We've got good management. We have an excellent coach. We got a tremendous amount of talent. And Austin, of course, is one of the best goal scorers in the world. And he's really become a two-way player. You know, he's back there in on everything, but he's going to take a little while to heal. We got the gap coming up, which is good for us. He'll be back, you know, in lots of time, second half of the season, which is good. We're going to need everybody to play their best if we have a shot at this with all the other competition out there, but that's the whole point. You know, that's what makes it so much fun. And I'm delighted to be here in Toronto watching this group of guys play as the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, playoff hockey is what we've been waiting the entire year for. But I did want to pull it back a little bit to 2013 because I saw a picture and I saw a tweet. I remember this as well when you were re-entering Earth and you wore that famous Leafs jersey under your gear for Game 7, that infamous Game 7 2013 against the Bruins, right? And my first question, when I was reading your book, An Astronaut Guide to Life on Earth, by the way, fantastic read. I would recommend it to everyone. I remember reading it back in high school. My first question to you is, you mentioned that you weren't supposed to wear the Leafs jersey, but being the stubborn Leafs fan you are, like we all are, you did so anyways. So how much of a no-no was this? And as a follow-up, when you landed and finally saw the game seven score, did you ever wear that shirt again specifically during any of our losses?
Well, when you on my third space flight, I was the pilot of a Soyuz spaceship, which is a little three-person spaceship. And you wear a spacesuit, a pressure suit. In Russian, it's called a Sokol suit, which means falcon. And it's pressurized. And it's pressurized with oxygen. And so if you're going to be in a pure oxygen environment, then some things become a lot more flammable. So you have to be careful about what you wear in a 100% oxygen environment. You don't want to wear something that if there was a fire could melt or that could cause static electricity and cause a spark. So that's why they restrict what you wear underneath it. But I mean, I thought if I wear the, you know, the issue white sweater or white T-shirt, or if I wear the one that that has maple leaves printed on it, that no one's going to care. And besides, it's worth the risk. And, you know, it was game seven of that series. And the last I heard, we undocked from the International Space Station, and, you know, the Leafs were ahead. And then we, you know, were as they were fighting down on the ice, you know, we were fighting our way down through the atmosphere, and we came down in a parachute and pumped into the world, rolled to a stop, and they pull us out of the capsule and put us in sort of a little recovery chair, and then they hand you a satellite phone to talk to your spouse, you know. And so they hand me this, my wife's name's Helena. They hand me the satellite phone and I'm like, hey, hello, Helena. And there's a time lag. She's like, oh, hello. I said, hey, you know, I'm back and I'm healthy. She goes, great. And I'm going, how are you? And she's fine. And then I say, how'd the Leafs do? And she was like, oh, I'm so sorry. They lost. And you know, we both went down in flames that day. Unfortunately, it was sad. but yeah, I mean, and Boston, I mean, I don't know who we're going to be against. It looks like a pretty good
shot
that we'll be in the playoffs this year. But is it going to be Tampa? Is it going to be Boston? Who are we going to be up against? Boston's having a terrific, terrific year, as much as it pains me to say that. So you know, the game gets recharged every single year and we'll have another shot at it. We just need to come out on the right side this year.
Absolutely. And I just have a quick follow-up question, Chris, because you brought the Leafs jersey to the ISS, which is fantastic. Do you know if anybody else has brought up an NHL jersey, or can you personally confirm that the Leafs are in fact the center and the satellite of the Leafs universe?
Well, yeah, I don't know of anybody who's ever brought up a Leafs jersey, that's for sure. But there's a little bit of sports paraphernalia, because you're allowed to bring a few personal items up there. And so I brought a few Leafs things up with me. One of them's in the Hall of Fame here in Toronto, you know, a Leafs square. And the Canadian Space Agency, though, is based in Montreal and one of the suburbs of Montreal, Saint-Hubert. And so when they on my little resupply ship that brings up a few personal items, I had this Leafs emblem, you know, printed, and when it arrived, on the back of it, one of them had stuck a Habs sticker on the back of it, just a little touch from home, but it was easily removed, so it worked out fine. And that that is in the Hall of Fame now. But hockey, you know, it's not as big a Texas sport as some other things, but there's always hockey fans up there. A lot of astronauts, you know, from the colder states, and lots of the Canadian astronauts, of course, is a favorite team. But when I was up there, it was all Leafs all the time.
What a hero. Do we have that last question, Harnish? I think did I delete it? Oh, that's okay. We had a couple of questions from Twitter, Chris, actually. And one of them was, as you're been a long-term Leafs fan and you've obviously been to space, and so we thought that you would be the best person to answer this. So if you had to put together a crew to go to the ISS, which Leafs are you taking?
Oh, that's an interesting question. There's not actually a lot of need for hockey skills on board a space station. So you kind of want a lot of other depth. However, people that are good with a stick might be good with a robotic arm as well. But you really want people that are willing to learn and people that are willing to work. And so, you know, I'd be happy to take anybody that wanted to come along, of course. It's a super technical job flying a spaceship and living on board a space station. So it might actually be some of the folks that aren't on the ice that would be good to come up as well. You know, some of the people that train and think and plan and do some of the other work. I'd love to have Sheldon Keefe, you know, come up. That not only the physical and experiential skills, but also the leadership and the ability to help other people, you know, really reach their best. But it's just a great group of young men that are the Leafs right now. I was lucky enough to be at the World Cup supporting the Canadian team there for one game in Qatar, and I felt the same way. This is the best soccer team we've ever put together, and it was just great to get to know them and see the world a little bit through their eyes and try and help them really excel. And I remember feeling the same sort of way, that these are just type of people I want to be around. People are at the best of the best, but who are also super hardworking to help put themselves there, you know? I wouldn't turn anybody away, but John Tavares, Sheldon Keefe, those would be good guys to have up there.
Maybe so, John can bring his sea salt. Maybe John can bring his sea salt that he takes with him everywhere.
Hey, when Mr. Hatfield said, bring anybody, I raised my hand a little bit. I'm like, I'll volunteer. I'll definitely come on.
Absolutely. And Chris, you know, you are a man of many talents, as one of your talents is your writing. So far, you have 4 books that are out, including more than one best-selling book that is out, and a children's book. And I believe you have another book coming out in the fall. Is that right?
Yeah, all 4 of my books so far have been international bestsellers and in, you know, a bunch of different languages. The most recent one, you can just see it right there. That's The Apollo Murders. And it's being made into a television series. In fact, it's thriller, alternative history fiction. And the book you just mentioned is the next in the series, the next in the Apollo Murder series. I'm just in the final editing stage with the publishers right now. And the next in the series will be out in the fall. And you mentioned the children's book, The Darkest Dark. Yeah, it's debuting as a stage play on the 23rd of February at the Young People's Theatre in Toronto. And they've added some magic to make it even more impactful. But the whole point of that children's book is how not to be afraid. How do you find your courage in life? And that's a really important thing to learn. And so I'm really pleased when people read The Darkest Dark to their children, but I'm really looking forward to the stage play at the Young People's Theatre coming here in third week of February.
Well, wow, there's a lot going on, and I can't wait to be able to pick up your next book and go down to the theater as well. But on behalf of everyone here at SDPN, thank you for coming on, taking some time out of your day and joining us after attending the Leafs game as well. I mean, it must have been a quick turnaround, but this was a surreal experience. You are someone that I personally looked up to as a child growing up. I did a presentation for you back in middle school, or a space presentation, and did research on you and had you on there as well. And I instantly fell in love with the unknowns of space and followed your journey specifically through 2013, where you did a lot of work really trying to connect with the youth. I remember you did a Q&A session from space with some of the students in Peel District School Board, including your public school. And I just want to say that really does mean a lot, and it really does connect with a lot of youth. So thank you for everything that you do. And I appreciate everything. Thank you, Mr. Commander.
Harnish, thank you very much. That's really kind of you to say. And I mean, it's important to take care of yourself, take care of your family, work with as much of your community as you can, try and make the most of yourself. But to be able to inspire and encourage our young people, that's kind of the ultimate test, because that's what really matters. And so I'm so lucky to be in a position to try and do some of that now. And I very much appreciate the feedback and the thought that, you know, as I was working and running all the experiments and taking care of the space station, that you were finding some inspiration and ideas in what I was doing also. That's great to hear. Thanks.
Definitely. It's actually one of the reasons why I even went into STEM in the first place. So
I'm delighted.
Thank you. Yeah, go ahead, Lauren.
No, I was just going to reiterate the same thing. You know, Chris, you talk about the fact that there are lots of Leaf legends, and you were personally were inspired by the Apollo 11 landing on the moon. And I hope that you know that you are inspiring the next generation of space frontiers. And my nephew went to space camp in Alabama for the first time this summer, and he loved it. And he was so excited for me to be talking to you tonight. And, you know, for not only the books that you've read and the music that you've put out, but for representing Canadians and being a Leafs fan and being such a great proponent and sponsor of teamwork and believing in dreams, because that's something we all need to do, especially today.
It's super important. Thank you, Lauren. And to all of the nephews and the nieces out there. Yeah, it's important to be inspired by something that seems on the edge of impossible, and then to live in a place where you can get the education and the support to pursue those dreams. I've been lucky enough to go through that path. And the more we can provide it for the young kids today, the better off our whole country and all the countries around it will be. So it's a big part of my life. And I'm pleased to have a chance to come on and talk with both of you and talk to as many people as possible, especially the Leafs fans.
Perfect.
Absolutely.
Well, that's
Go, Air Harnish.
Yeah. Perfect. Well, I think that's going to do it here from us. Again, thank you so much for coming on, and thank you to all the fans for coming on and listening to us today. And make sure you like, make sure you subscribe, make sure you share out and tweet out at us. We appreciate you guys for your continued support, and hope you have a fantastic rest of your night. Good night, absolutely. Everyone.
Good go night, Leafs. Everybody.
All right.
Go Leafs, go.
Go Leafs, go.
Game over! Powered by Sports Interaction, Canada Sportsbook.